thy great Redeemer's praise. The glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and help and
sing his praise.
Sing his praise. Sing the triumphs of his grace. Sing his praise. Sing it loud. Sing his praise. Oh, sing the honors of his name. Sing. The power of canceled sin, he sets the prisoner free. Oh, his blood can make the foulest clean, his blood availeth for me.
Oh, sing his praise. Yes.
Sing his praise. Oh, sing the triumphs of his grace. Sing his praise, sing it loud. Sing his praise, or sing the honors of his name. Sing his praise, sing it loud.
All right, immortal, invisible.
God only wise, enlightened, inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, that great name we praise.
Unresting,
unresting, unhasting, and silent as light, no wanting, no wasting, thou rulest in might. Thy justice like mountains high soaring above, thy clouds are the fountains of goodness and love. Oh, who can compare? Who else can stand? Immortal, invisible, God only wise, thy grace. Unrivaled, unequaled, and matchless in power, thy great name we praise.
Great
Father of glory, pure Father of light, thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. All praise we would render, oh help us to see, 'tis only the splendor of light hiding thee. Yes, who can, yeah. Unrivaled, unequaled, and matchless in power, thy great name we praise.
Sing hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
worship you, God, we worship you, Lord. Let's just sing like this.
We sing our praises to the Lord.
Heaven sing.
And we sing our praises to the King. We sing our praises to the Lord. We sing our praises to the King. We sing our praises to the Lord. We sing our praises to the King. Sing our praises to the Lord. We sing our praises to the King.
Who can compare?
Oh, and who can compare? Who else can stand? Immortal, invisible, God only wise, thy great name we praise.
Tell me,
who can compare? Who else can stand? Unrivaled, unequaled, and matchless in power, thy great name we praise.
Amen. What a blessing.
Well, welcome, everyone. My name is Marvin. So glad that you are with us. I just want to say thank you for being here. Thank you for worshiping, for leaning in, for being the worshiping community that you are. We just are so grateful. And to our online community as well, we want to greet you and want to say thank you for being with us. And I hope you've enjoyed your time in worship as well. Before we get on with some things in our service, we wanted to make a pause this weekend, and we wanted to recognize and appreciate all of the folks that are in healthcare and all of the healthcare workers that attend this church. We know how tireless, in fact, if you would hold your applause for a second, I'm going to give you an opportunity to applaud, but we just want to say we know how tireless this season has been and oftentimes unappreciated. And so as a church, we wanted to say we appreciate you and we see you. So I'm going to ask that you would stand. If you're a healthcare worker in any capacity, would you stand and we might recognize you? And now you can help me in applauding. Thank you so much for all that you do, and we see you and recognize you. And I wanted to read the scripture over you, Isaiah 41:10. It says, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." And so we pray that over you this evening. And in fact, if you're online and you're a healthcare worker as well, we recognize and appreciate you as well. And so thank you for all that you do. I'd love to pray for each and every one of you. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you. We thank you because so many folks in this church and around our city and around the world that are tirelessly serving us in the field of healthcare, Lord. And so we just pray for them, Lord. We ask that you would strengthen them, that you would remind them that you are their victorious God and that you are with them every day while they go out to the different places where they work, Father God. Hold them, be with them, let them know that they are appreciated. We ask this in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. Again, my name is Marvin. Great to be with each and every one of you. We especially like to welcome all those that might be here for the very first time. So if this is your first time with us or if you're visiting Christian Assembly, we want to say welcome. Thank you for being here. And just want to say, yeah, just thank you for being here. We'd love to get to know you. And so if you want to let us know that you're here, you can fill out a blue connection card that's right in that seat in front of you. You can grab that card, fill that out as a way of letting us know that you're here. Someone will follow up with you. Someone will connect with you and call you this week and tell you more about our church. You can also visit our new people's table that's out in the lobby there as well. A few things I want to point out, lots of great things happening at Christian Assembly. I would always encourage you to check our app, check our bulletin, and our website, all good resources. But one is we're having a parent equipping event on teenage mental health. And this is an event geared to equip parents with greater awareness and practical resources and, of course, prayer. And so if you have a teenager, if you know a teenager, if there's a teenager in your life, make it a point to attend this great seminar. It's going to be happening Saturday, February 26th. Matt Price, one of our pastors, is going to be hosting the event, and he's going to be interviewing Dr. Dan Suzuki, who is a licensed psychiatrist. He also attends our church. So you can register online and get some more information about this event online. The women are having their first ever women's conference in the month of March. Lots of ladies are excited because they've already registered. And if that's not you, then I encourage you to register as well. You can gather, learn, and connect with other women. Kathy Christopher will be the guest speaker. And she's one of the wisest persons we know. So they asked her to speak. She's a retired person, a retired pastor from our church. And so if you've not yet registered, I encourage you to register for the women's conference. It's coming up next month. As You Go seminar is a four-week seminar that's going to be focusing on the joy and power of conversational evangelism. So if this is an area where you feel like you can grow in, and I think we all can, right? I would encourage you to find out more information on this seminar and register for it. It's going to be held on Thursdays starting March 3rd here on our campus. And you're going to learn how to navigate conversations and be equipped to share the good news wherever you might go in a conversational setting. So I invite you to be a part of the As You Go seminar. We're going to turn our time over now where we get to worship by giving of our tithes and offerings. And as I do that, I wanted to read Micah 3:10 for us. It says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and I will see that if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it." If you are visiting, feel no obligation to participate in this time. But to those of you that call Christian Assembly home, I just pray that you would be blessed as you give. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your generosity in our lives, Lord. We thank you that even this scripture reminds us, Lord, that you're a good and faithful God, and you're ready and willing to bless each and every one of us, Lord. And so as we worship you by giving of our tithes and offerings, would you open up those windows, Lord, and pour blessing into our lives, Lord Jesus. Father, we pray for the women's conference. We pray for the parent equipping event, for the As You Go seminar, and so many other great things happening around Christian Assembly, Lord. Would they be pleasing before you, places of growth and opportunities for us to increase our faith and our walk with you, Lord. So we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I'm glad to have this time with you. Anyone who's visiting, my name is Matt. And if you are joining us online, we're so glad to have this moment with you as well. I'm going to be carrying us through our teaching time this weekend. Percy Sledge was right. When a man loves a woman, he can't keep his mind on nothing else. He'll trade the world for the good thing he's found. You know this one, right? He'd give up all his comforts, sleep out in the rain, if she said, "That's the way it ought to be." Love can make you do some crazy things. When I was in college, I fell in love with a girl who lived 3 hours away, and we figured out that if I registered only for Tuesday and Thursday classes, I could leave Thursday evening and didn't have to be back until Tuesday morning before class, and so I would make that drive 3 hours there, 3 hours back, just about every week. Love will make you do some crazy things. And I guess she was in love too, because she's put up with being married to me for 20 years now. So thank you. A couple called me one time on a Monday and asked if I would officiate their wedding on Wednesday. The groom had been serving as a Marine in Afghanistan, and he was finished with his tours of duty. He, in fact, he had gotten a civilian job in Sacramento. Only problem was his girlfriend, who had been his girlfriend since they were high school sweethearts together, she was still in L.A. And he called her up that weekend and said, "Listen, we've been apart long enough. I don't want to be far away from you anymore. I want you with me. I'm flying down for a couple of days. Let's find a pastor to marry us, and let's fly back to Sacramento together, married." She said, yes. He bought a ring. She bought a dress. They showed up right here, and we got them married. And they flew back to Sacramento together. That was about 10 years ago. I actually just saw this couple this past Christmas. They were visiting family, and they are still married. Thank God. But love will make you do crazy. I did a funeral here once for a man who had two sons. Neither of them, imagine this, neither son had a single fond memory of their dad. They could only tell me what a miserable person that he was. In fact, both sons had tried to reconcile with their dad in his last days, and they were met with final gasps of rage and insult. Out of some sense of obligation, they planned a brief little funeral. And to my surprise, on the day of the funeral, this room was halfway filled. And people came down front and greeted his sons. And I watched as they came and told his sons what an amazing businessman their dad was, how much love he put into his work. And I could see in the sons' faces the pain of knowing that their father gave all of his love to his work and none to his family. Love can make us do some crazy things. It matters what and who you choose to love. And so I want to talk about love with our time. I want to talk about the way to experience God. That's our series. How to experience God is to receive God's love and to love Him in return. If you want to experience God, this is absolutely essential, to receive God's love and to love Him in return. And there's a choice for us to make in that. One of Jesus's earliest disciples was a man named John. He was one of the fishermen who Jesus chose to follow. He called John to follow Him, and John left his fishing business, his nets, his boats, to follow Jesus into a new life. And John went on to write 5 books of the Bible, and we get a pretty good glimpse of John's experience with Jesus and what John cannot stop writing about through all 5 of his books is how God loves. John was the one who recorded those famous words of Jesus in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that whosoever believes in Him won't perish. They'll have eternal life with God." John was the one who referred to himself, think about this, as the disciple Jesus loved. That's what John liked to call himself, the disciple Jesus loved. Of course, Jesus made clear his love for all of his disciples, but John's whole life and identity got swept up into the love of God shown by Jesus to the point that he understood himself not as John the fisherman, not as John the disciple or John the apostle or John the Christian. None of that compared to being the one Jesus loved. John was also the one who declared, God is love. You cannot know God. You cannot experience God without knowing and experiencing God loving you. We can learn from John this essential dynamic for experiencing God. And so I want to talk about God loving us, and then us loving God. And then I want us to know the choice we have all to make today and every day. So first, we can learn from John that God pursues us with his love. Some of you know that you weren't looking for Jesus when he found you. But God will chase us down in places we never thought we'd find God. John starts his gospel by telling us that Jesus came into the world like a searchlight into the darkness. And right away in chapter 1, John skips the nativity. John skips over the manger. He cuts right to the part where Jesus starts looking for those who will follow him. He's come to show us the love of God, and it looks like God pursuing us, looking for us with his love. Who will receive it? If you look in your bulletins, we're going to read part of that story in chapter 1, and the verses will also be on the screen. Listen to what John tells us. He says, the next day, Jesus is already picked up a couple of guys that are following him. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip, and he said to him, come follow me. Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, we found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. Nazareth, exclaimed Nathanael. Can anything good come from Nazareth? You know, sometimes the Spirit of God comes out of nowhere to show us God's love. Come and see for yourself, Philip replied. As they approached, Jesus said, now here's a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity. And I love how Nathanael automatically thinks Jesus is talking about him. He knows Jesus must be talking about me. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. And Jesus replied, oh, I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you. Jesus says, I saw you before you saw me. I was looking for you. I found you before you found me. And then Nathanael exclaimed, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. And Jesus asked him, do you believe this just because I told you I'd seen you under the fig tree? I left this. Jesus is thinking, just wait and see what's coming next, buddy. That's nothing compared to what you're going to see. God loves us with a pursuing love. Do you know that God is in pursuit of you? Do you know that God is chasing after every one of us? I think about my kids when they were young. I used to love to chase them. I'd chase our kids through the house when they were even just little toddlers. And they would run anticipating that moment when I would catch them. They didn't know when, but they knew Dad was going to catch them. And I would catch them and pick them up, oh, they'd scream and they'd squeal and they'd laugh. And as soon as I would let them go, what did they want? They wanted me to chase them again and to catch them again and again and again and again and again. And finally I'd say, okay, that's enough. No more chasing. Oh, they'd beg me to keep chasing. May God never stop chasing after me with his love. May God keep catching us in his love. I think about people I know who God chased down some long roads. God was getting tired by the time he caught up with some people. He chased after them for a long time. I know some people God chased down some dark alleys to catch them in his love. I think about people I know who God caught at just the right moment. Are you experiencing God pursuing you? That's how he loves you. Jesus was looking for Nathanael and caught him in God's love. John got caught in Jesus' love. Anybody here ever gotten just caught by God's love for you? Thank God that he chases me with his love, and I've gotten caught more than once. Oh, thank God he catches me. Experiencing God is only possible because God is a chaser and he is in pursuit of us with his love. Here's the second thing we learn about experiencing God is that it includes us loving God in return. Listen to what John tells us later in his gospel. He tells us some words that Jesus spoke to his disciples. In John 15, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me, so remain in my love. Once we are caught in his love, we can stay in his love. We can keep experiencing more of his love. Remember what Jesus said to Nathanael. You're surprised to know Jesus was looking for you, wanted to find you. If that's what surprises you, just stick around. Just hold on to the one who caught you in his love. Remain in his love because there is more to experience with God when we love him in return. Look at what Jesus says in verse 10. When you obey my commandments, that's how you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love, Jesus came to find us wherever we are and to catch us with his love. And the way we love him back, here's how we do it. Here's how we love God in return. Wherever he runs, I run. Wherever he leads, I follow. Wherever he calls for me to be, I don't want to be anywhere else. Whatever he shows me to do, I won't find joy doing anything else. That's experiencing God. And I wonder if that has become true of your love for Jesus. Does your love for God look like obedience, holding on wherever he's leading you to whatever he commands? Obedience makes our love for Jesus real, personal, and practical. If Jesus said to believe in him, I'm really going to believe him. I'm personally going to believe him. I'm going to practice believing him. It means if I want to experience God, not just know about Him, not just hope God loves me, but if I want to experience God's love for me, then I have to put His Word into practice in real, personal ways. I have to practice forgiveness, really forgiving, personally forgiving, believing that by doing so, I'm loving God. I have to practice submitting my will to God's will in real and personal ways. Practicing to not be conformed by the patterns of this world, but practicing that transformation through the renewing of my mind. Practicing what Jesus has instructed and commanded is how you and I actively love Him in return for loving us. John writes in a later letter in the New Testament, he says, this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for sins. And then he sums it up here in verse 19. We love because He first loved us. This is experiencing God. Loving God in return for His love for you and me. And love can make you do some crazy things. I was reminded of this recently by a couple who are part of our church, Greg and Sally Livingston. Some of you might know them. Greg and Sally are in their 80s, and their health is not what it used to be. But when Greg and Sally were just students in college, they heard and they responded to a call that was given by someone who was preaching God's word. In that call, they heard Jesus gave His life for us. Is it not reasonable to give every breath you have until our last for Him in return? Greg and Sally were so compelled by the love of Jesus for the world that they spent most of their lives, almost the rest of their lives, on the other side of the world in cities and in nations that many of us don't know or ever think about. And they went to those places to make certain that it was known to the people living there that God loves, that Jesus saves, and that every person is meant to experience God. Now in their 80s, they live in Pasadena. And these guys, I mean, they didn't just go and tell a few people. They led a missionary movement in mostly the Muslim kind of region of our world. In fact, not too long ago, I picked up a book. I can't even remember which book it was, but I had it on my bookshelf. It'd been there for a while. I pick up this book, and I open it, and turns out the book I'm about to read was dedicated to Greg Livingstone and his work as a missionary. And now he's living in Pasadena in his 80s. Health's not great. And he will not quit. Even when they can no longer go, Greg and Sally pray for God to raise up others who will go. In fact, they are praying for a team of people, even from Christian Assembly, that would go together to another part of the world to preach the gospel. They call and email me and Tom and Scott asking for Christian Assembly, send a team, send a team, send a team. I think we ought to send a team just so I have less emails in my inbox. I I hope if I live as long as the living stones that I have a fraction of the passionate love for Jesus that they still have. Love will make you do some crazy things. What has resulted in your life from God loving you? You might run around the world, or you might walk across the room to love others with the love of God. What are you doing with the love He's shown to you? Your love for Jesus might lead you to places you never dreamed you'd go, to have conversations about Jesus with people that you never thought you would have a conversation with, people you never knew, to help them know about the love of God. In fact, if you want to have more of those conversations, little plug for that as you go thing, sign up and be part of that conversational evangelism seminar. Experiencing God is not just knowing God loves you. It is loving God in return, in real, personal, practical ways. And that presents us all with a choice. There's an old song that says, "What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday He will be asking, what did you do with me?" God does love you. You don't choose if God loves you or not. You don't choose if Jesus really came to save the world. You don't get to choose if He went to the cross or if He took your sins upon Himself to give you salvation. You don't get to choose if Jesus rose from the dead and reigns forever as Lord of all. You don't choose if God will love you or not. He does love you. You get to choose to receive His love. And you get to choose to love Him in return. That's the choice. That's the choice every one of us must make to experience God. Jacob, you can come join me wherever you are. All the way back in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, this same choice has always presented people. Moses speaks these words, "Today I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make." Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live, and you can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying Him and committing yourself firmly to Him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you'll live long in the land the Lord swore to give you. You'll live into all the promises of God. You notice there again, obedience linked with love. Jesus has already chosen to love you. His love for you and me is as real as a rugged cross and as personal as nails pierced through His hands and His feet. Jesus chose to practice what He preached about love for you and me. And now it's our turn. It's our turn. It's our turn to choose to love Him in return. Wherever He leads, whatever He commands, I choose Him. I choose to love Him who first chose to love me. When I used to chase my kids, sometimes they would get so excited, they would turn and suddenly start chasing me. They wanted a turn to try and catch me. Now I knew that I could run faster. And if I wanted to, I could never let them catch me. But that wasn't the point of this chase. The point of this chase was to let them catch me and embrace me with love, because I had chased them and embraced them first. God chases after us to catch us in his love. And the question becomes this: what are you chasing? Who are you chasing? Jesus is chasing us down to catch us in God's love, but the chase doesn't end there. He catches us in his love so that we can choose to turn and chase after wherever he leads, to love him in return. That's how we experience God. Can you say amen to that? Amen. We're going to sing, and I want to pray for us before we do. And you might be here, and you have walked with Jesus. You've been in church. You've even heard 100 sermons about God loving you. But you're probably more like me than you might think. I need to be reminded. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. And I need to be called up, and I need to be compelled by his great love to keep loving him in return in real ways. And maybe you haven't walked with Jesus for long. Maybe you're new to all this church stuff. And maybe you heard tonight that this isn't just about a religion. This isn't just about the do's and the don'ts or the golden rule. This isn't a club to join. This is about God Almighty looking for you. And maybe tonight he's found you. Maybe he's found you in his love, and you want to turn and you want to love him back. Maybe you never even have done that. Maybe you've never had a moment where in prayer you said, Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for finding me. I want to love you back. You can pray that prayer. You can begin to experience God in new ways even right now. In fact, we're going to have prayer teams in a moment, and if you, in our time together, if you chose to love him back for the first time, to begin a new experience with Jesus, I want to invite you, when the service is over, come up front. You can even sit in some of the empty chairs here or on my right over here, and either I or someone on our prayer team will pray with you, pray for you, pray God bless you. Lord, would you teach us evermore to keep loving you for all the love that you've shown to us. We need you, Lord. In Jesus' name, and together we say, amen.